This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan shot today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built Four Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Wednesday morning. Some more breaking news after we get off the air yesterday, as Joe Douglas, former Jets general manager, let go by Woody Johnson and the Jets. We knew this was probably going to happen at the end of the year, hearing that last press conference and knowing what Woody was doing as far as firing the coach without talking to Joe Douglas and some of those things. I mean, it was over for him. They just decided to end it now during the bye week so they can get started on this GM search. It's sad to see another guy go. We developed a relationship with Joe Douglas. It was amazing how quickly this thing has fallen apart. It was April 2023 at White Eagle Hall, New Jersey, our first ever Boomer and Geo Live, where Joe Douglas came out, said Aaron Rodgers is going to be here before the trade had been completed, and then me and Joe dumped ranch dressing on Peter Schwartz. About a year and a half later, he's gone. Aaron Rodgers will be gone at the end of the year. Rob Saleh's gone, and the whole thing is blown up, and the Jets are the laughingstock of the NFL once again. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning there, G. I'm never happy when you see good guys lose jobs, that's for sure. And a guy that's tried to put into place what the owner wanted, and that was a winning football team. And, you know, 6 weeks ago, Woody said this was the best roster he's ever had. So, and Joe is the guy that put it together. So, well, here we go again. I mean, I feel like we've been at the starting line with a number of these teams over and over and over again. And now the Jets have got to try to find the right people to run the organization. I mean, it's the reality of the business, unfortunately. And a lot of these guys understand that. But you never want to be let go. You never want to be fired. You never want to be benched because it is so public and so many people are talking about the different decisions you made, why you made them, were they successful, did you pick the right guy, didn't you pick the right guy? I mean, and that's just part of, I think, the reality of the business and what these guys sign up for. And we knew that it was going to be just a matter of time with Joe Douglas, simply because you can't have a lame duck GM, especially if the owner is going to invoke himself in a lot of the decision-making that you're responsible for. And that's who's playing, who's not playing, what contracts are getting done, what contracts can't get done. I mean, so, you know, Woody is basically rampaging right now, as I would say. And, you know, he just got his buddy elected president of the United States. I don't know if he's going to be here, next year. I don't know if he'll get another ambassadorship or not. I would assume he'll get something simply because he was so, financially and personally invested in the election of president-elect Trump. So, maybe this is his way of making sure that he has his he has control over what's going on with his franchise moving forward. So, the interesting thing is I went back and I watched the tape of Aaron Rodgers. I just wanted to see what's going on. Why wasn't he throwing the ball down the field? And if he was throwing the ball down the field, why wasn't he hitting anybody? And I think I always thought of really one pass that went over 20 yards, and it was behind
the intended receiver.
Yeah, we looked at the dispersion yesterday, and nothing was down the field.
I'm telling you right now, he's injured. He's 100% injured. And I think I want to say it's on his left leg, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's a hamstring. Okay. You could just tell by the way everything's coming off of his back foot. You could tell by the way that it looks like he's trying to protect his left leg. I'm sure we're going to hear about it eventually. But if I had to guess, I would say it. I don't know if it's a knee. I don't know if it's a hamstring. But to me, it kind of looks like it's a hamstring just by the way he's moving around and not going through like the proper mechanics. And I know that he's always been a different kind of guy when he's throwing, and he does throw off his back foot quite a bit. And that's kind of like the way that he has played over the course of his career. I don't see him putting a lot of pressure on that front leg. I really don't. So that tells me it's got to either be a pulled calf muscle or a pulled hamstring or something that is torn that he is fighting through, and he's probably fighting through it because of what happened to him last year.
Well, of course. And I mean, and coming here and having to be the savior and the money that he's making, all of those things, and not wanting to give up. But yeah, we had heard about a knee banged up. We'd heard about an ankle banged up. It wouldn't surprise me if there was some muscle in there. You're probably right about whether a hamstring or a calf. It looks like that. I mean, it looks like he just doesn't have any power there. And it makes a lot of sense why the ball's not going down the field if he can't use his lower body to get that into his throws. So, yeah, I mean, it's just and this is what happens when you bring in an old guy like that. He got hurt now twice, it seems like. So it's just going to be, I just wonder, does it get worse from here? I mean, what are the players thinking right now? You fire the coach, you fire the general manager, you know there's going to be a new regime. Be shocked if Aaron Rodgers came back at this point. There's no way I think that they're going to want him back. So that could get like a messy divorce like you had with the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the other thing, and I don't necessarily know that he'll do, I don't know, he's a wild card, and they're on a bye. So I don't think he has his McAfee show this week or anything. So I don't know how he's going to react to it. And then there's also a leak that, you know, supposedly Woody wanted to bench him after the Bronco game.
Yeah, so a couple things on that. So this was the Athletic report with Diana Russini and Zach Rosenblatt. So you mentioned how Woody Johnson says the best roster we've had in 25 years. So in this article, right, it says the line about roster talent was presumably an endorsement of the work Douglas had done over the past few years, but multiple sources within the organization viewed it as more of an endorsement of the roster that Johnson felt that he had built. And prior to that line, it was talked about how Woody Johnson looks at social media, sees what people think the Jets should be doing, and then goes out and gets those guys, and how it was Woody Johnson who had pushed for Tyron Smith more than Joe Douglas wanted him, and Joe Douglas was reluctant to bring him in because there wasn't a single other team, including the Dallas Cowboys, that wanted him back, and here he is giving up more sacks than anybody and then getting hurt. He didn't really love the idea of bringing in Mike Williams, and Mike Williams comes in here, and we know how that worked out. So it's a lot, and Woody went all in, and part of the fan base has to appreciate the fact that he went for it, and they all that money that we talked about that had to be in escrow, they had to pay Aaron Rodgers to get here, and all of those things, and then it didn't work, and he's blown the thing up. It's just that this article right here and some of the things that it said that were happening to Joe Douglas, even prior to this regular season with the stuff we knew about, firing Rob Saleh without consulting him, getting the Hassan Reddick deal done when Joe Douglas didn't want it to go that way. There were things that he was doing prior to that. Good luck finding a general manager that's got any self-respect coming in here to try to run this team.
Well, that's the way it feels right now. There's no question about that. But it is one of 32 jobs, and somebody will want it. Maybe hopefully somebody that has some sort of experiences at this as opposed to somebody that's an assistant to a successful GM somewhere else because that team has a quarterback. You know what I mean? You got to get somebody in here that's going to win the lottery one of these years. And I think that, you know, Joe Douglas and Mike Maccagnan and a number of these guys have had opportunities to pick their quarterbacks. And unfortunately, it didn't work when they were here. And those guys went on to have some sort of success, you know, once they left here, whether it be Geno Smith or whether it be Sam Darnold. And, you know, Mark Sanchez really didn't. But, I mean, they've had their opportunities and it hasn't worked out. Now, The interesting thing will be the reaction of Aaron Rodgers, because anybody who was involved in bringing him here, with the exception of the owners, is gone. They're gone. And if he's endorsed...
Well, Nate Hackett and Jaime are still there.
Well, yeah, but Jaime was here before that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. To me, it's just another... first of all, I would say this. If Joe Douglas was lame duck, which he was, and he was getting his, as you said, legs cut out from underneath him in many of these different discussions, then it's probably better off that he's gone. It's better off for him. It's better off for the Jets. There's nothing worse than walking around like on eggshells and everybody knowing that eventually you are going to be removed from your position. You have no more power within the organization. So what's the sense of having you walk around in the building anymore?
Yeah.
So from that perspective, it does make sense that Woody would do something like this. Then it also gets them, you know, somewhat of a head start on everybody else, trying to find the right combination of a GM and head coach. Maybe he has that in his mind already. I don't know. He puts Phil Savage in as an interim general manager. That interim general manager has to run the team, has to go through all the different transactions that happen on a daily basis, has to be the conduit to the league office, and still has to take phone calls from other GMs around the league and other owners around the league, if in fact that's a viable activity for him, depending on what Woody has told Phil Savage. He's a respected guy within the league. He knows what he's doing. But I'm sure going to be a part of, looking ahead as to who the next GM is going to be.
Yeah, and the big headline that came out of the Athletic article was the thing about benching Aaron Rodgers. I don't actually think... I could see that whole thing where they have a meeting after the Bronco game and Nate Hackett's in there, Rob Saleh's in there, Joe Douglas is in there, Jeff Ulbrich is in there, Woody is in there, Christopher's in there, and Woody Johnson saying something like, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is so bad, what, should we go to Tyrod Taylor? And then coach is going, what are you, nuts? Like that, and that happening. That actually wouldn't surprise me, him being so angry suggesting
that. Yeah, but Woody said, look, man, the guy is hurt.
Well, that would be different.
That could be the precursor of the actual discussion.
Right. So that's the big headline. But I think there's way more important things in this article that should be headlined and just shows you when Joe Douglas lost control and from Woody Johnson. Now, none of Joe Douglas's fault, by the way, was when Woody Johnson decided to take the entire power of the organization. So this is according to The Athletic, Zach Rosenblatt and Diana Russini. It said Douglas had already lost some power midway through last season when Johnson took a more active role. Example, Douglas had a contract extension offer he was getting ready to propose to defensive end Bryce Huff's agent, but Johnson vetoed that and other moves involving paying new money to players on the roster. By January, Douglas seemed to have even less control. That's when Johnson fired assistant general manager Rex Hogan, a move that shocked many in the organization because of how close Douglas and Hogan and their families were. Multiple team sources theorized that Johnson forced Douglas's hand. In the aftermath, Douglas told Jet staffers, Woody should just fire me now. That's in January.
Yeah.
All right? So, like, that right there, to me, that's the headline. And the fact that Woody Johnson took so much control of this organization and was taking the power away from his general manager way before this season started going south. And that's the issue. I mean, and I heard Al and Jerry discussing this morning on the warm-up show, and Al couldn't understand why so many fans, you know, were screaming at Woody Johnson. I think the answer to that is the fact that, you know, nothing during Woody Johnson's tenure outside of the Rex Ryan couple of years has gone well. So it's one thing after another, and he hired these guys and didn't let them do their job. Yes. And he came in and he started meddling, and now what that does is give you the worst candidates in the world that probably wouldn't take any other job in the league just to take this job so they could say they're a general manager and go, you know what, I could deal with it, I'll deal with Woody Johnson, yeah, sure. Like this guy, Chiefs assistant GM, Mike Borgonzi. He'll be Borgonzi in 2 years if he comes here, trust me. You got no shot. None. And Brian Costello's got all these assistant GMs and all these people all over the league. It's like, sorry, it ain't going to work out, especially if this guy's that involved.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing that you can get rid of the coach, you can get rid of the GM.
But you can change the practice.
I'm saying is that you're not going to get rid of the owner. It's, they serve at the owner's pleasure because the owner pays them a lot of money. And if the owner is going to get personally involved and make all these decisions, then those guys really don't have jobs.
Yeah.
You know, they're just placeholders, and they're there placating the owner making those decisions. And it wasn't until I think we all thought when Jim Dolan was running the Knicks and getting involved with all the different controversies and the coaches and the hires and doing all these things, he just kept going down the wrong road, getting bad information from whoever was, you know, recommending these particular people. Like the Phil Jackson hire is one of the biggest disasters I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until now that Jim has stepped away and allowed Leon Rose to run this team that the team is currently constituted the way it is right now. We all believe it's going to be a good team.
Which is what he did with the Rangers years.
Many years ago with Glenn Sather. He let Glenn Sather run the team.
And that's why they had more success.
Right. And you know, even Ranger fans say, oh, Glenn Sather did this. I'll tell you what. This franchise has always been competitive. You know, they won again last night on the road, and still people aren't happy for whatever reason, because the expectations are sometimes through the roof. But I will say that once he divorced, Jim Dolan divorced himself from all of that nonsense and did what he was doing with the Sphere and doing all the, you know, the real estate deals that he does, you know, managing the Garden, all those things, and he let the people come in and do their jobs for their respective franchises, they've been really very successful collectively now over the last 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
And, until Woody Johnson understands that, it's never going to change. They'll have a little bit of success here or there. I don't know who he's going to hire as his head coach now, but any head coach that comes in here, especially if it is a coordinator type that has never been a head coach before, does he know how to fight for the things that head coaches want to fight for?
Yeah, I mean, and the GM is going to be the first thing you would imagine. That's generally how these things go. You hire the GM, and then the GM hires a coach. But, you know, we have talked many times about how there has to be a big personality head coach that it will be the face of the organization that has experience. And, you know, is the assistant GM for whoever the hell that Brian Costello's got here is, I'll just throw out another name, is Ed Dodds, the Colts assistant GM, going to be the guy that comes in here and then stiff arms Woody Johnson and then has the guts to hire John Gruden, who's going to be the most powerful man in that building? Probably not. Ed Dodds is going to hire some special teams coordinator from somewhere so then he could be the cock of the walk in the building. So, I mean, if there's one thing, if Woody Johnson listens to us and listens to social media and listens to all of those things, this is the thing he's got to hear, is that you have to get a head coach, not Rex Ryan himself, but like that. That's who you need. Experience, and Rex didn't have head coaching experience at the time, but experience preferable, and a big personality to be the face of the organization. You can't go down the assistant GM and the assistant coach or the coordinator route with this franchise again. And if you do, You gotta divorce yourself and let those guys do their job and just go away for a while.
He may be initially forced to divorce himself if, in fact, Donald Trump does put him back into the ambassadorship of Great Britain. So that only time will tell us that, and that probably is not going to happen for at least a couple months. And this is maybe one of the reasons why Woody wants to do this right now. But I do, you know, if you've basically cut the legs out from underneath your GM the last couple years, you basically just released Joe Douglas, and it's probably, while I'm sure it's disappointing for Joe, I would imagine that it's also relieving.
Oh, yeah. And they basically, another part of that article was like, there were people in the building that felt like Joe Douglas was being held hostage because he had no job, no power. He was walking around sad every day, and they finally just let him go, and he'll end up on his feet for sure. He's well-respected. He'll be working for another organization. Maybe he'll get another opportunity as a GM. You know, and maybe to play devil's advocate for a second, because I don't agree with what I'm about to say. You know, maybe Woody Johnson in January and then throughout this year was like, you know, I gave you your chance and you drafted Zach Wilson and you did this and you brought in Mekhi Becton and this didn't work and that didn't work. And Hassan Reddick isn't signed. You traded for him and now we don't have him. And, you know, maybe he just was by January said, you know, I gave you your shot to turn this organization around. You weren't able to do it. Now I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to take credit if this team is going to be good this year.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, all of this for us and probably for a lot of people that have covered the Jets, whether it be Connor Hughes or Diana Russini or anybody, you know, we're not in those meetings. You know, we're not in, you know, I don't know exactly what is being said between the owner and the general manager, the owner and the head coach. I have no idea what's being said. I have no idea, you know, what he said. He called Aaron Rodgers, you know, when they got back from London just to see how he was doing because he thought he got hurt in that game.
Yeah.
And then the next day, Rob Saleh was fired. So, you know, I don't know how many of these reports are truly 100% accurate. I do believe that there's something to it, especially when a person gets fired. If they do have contacts within the media world, they will give their they'll give their opinions off the record and then let the people who are either doing the writing or doing the talking like us, you know, put it in our own words and try to figure out exactly what's going on. I purposely did not call Joe Douglas yesterday. I did not want to get involved in you know, getting a guy that is off the rebound and trying to explain away what happened here. Because I know what the explanations are going to be. Because they're always the same with every general manager, with every coach, that they didn't get the support that they needed or they had too much of a meddling coming from ownership. And this is one of the things that Bill Belichick has basically pointed out time and again with the New York Jets.
Yeah, and he is not afraid to say it now. And he certainly didn't when he was the head coach of the Patriots. You know he was thinking it. But he has come out many, many times, a member of the media, and just said, well, the Jets are going to jet, and this is the Jets, and Woody's going to be Woody, so this is what happens. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, you and I opened up with obviously the Joe Douglas firing, and I'm sure, you know, there's some relief over there in that building. I'm sure there was a lot of tension surrounding both the GM, the owner, a lot of people in that building. You never know how they're all affected. I can tell you right now, everybody on that coaching staff is on the phone trying to figure out where their next job is.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That I can tell you. That, yeah. That is definitely happening. And then the other thing, like, I got to believe it. So a little birdie told me that Al and Jerry were going at it this morning on the warm-up show about this exact thing. And I'm like, Al and Jerry, we're screaming and getting heated.
How does that feel to Cubs fans today? They don't care that they won one World Series.
Oh,
or got
sure
in
you
one.
Do. Oh, no. Wave your hand all you want. They gave you
stupid.
A... No, it's not stupid. You're stupid.
I mean, that is amazing how heated that this discussion got with
I was
you
not ready for
morning.
This conversation this morning.
And you come flying out there with the Cubs in relation to the Jets. What were you... did you get too much sleep last night?
No, I get annoyed listening to sports radio. It annoys the hell out of me.
Sports radio.
I know it's so annoying now. Then by the time I get on at 5, I'm furious about everything. From what I've read, I hear McMonagle, I hear the dopey overnight callers, which are the worst. So I'm like furious by 5 o'clock.
Yeah, and then you take it out on Jerry.
And I'm not ready for it. I'm not ready for that this morning.
Jerry works very hard, works multiple jobs. And you come in here screaming at him with all this pent-up energy.
I gave him the heads up as we started. I said, the post-game podcast, I'm very pleasant, and it's all about nothing.
No, that heads up would have been good at 4 a.m.
And then when I come here at 5, I'm just so annoyed at everything.
Yeah, so do you want to apologize to Jerry for putting him in a very difficult situation?
Oh, no, I apologize for
it.
He called you stupid.
That's fine.
Oh, I'm not apologizing for that.
You apologize? No, I'm just saying you guys called each other stupid. I mean,
that's what happens in sports talk.
Right. Did you feel like you got it off your chest?
I did.
You feel much better now?
A little better, yeah.
I mean, Al operates sort of the same way the moon does. You know, it's just like there's a full moon and then it just gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And
today was a harvest moon today?
It's very predictable. And I've talked about this with him over the years. There's sometimes he's called me like in an afternoon having one of these meltdowns. Hasn't happened in a couple of years. We'll talk it out. And I always suggest to him that, but it's the same cycle always going to happen. I don't think we could stop it. And he just has to get away completely from it and just not listen to anything.
But I am. Legitimately, all I hear is maybe 3 minutes of McMonagle when I'm on Hudson Street. And then a caller or two in the hallways, and that's enough for me. Like, it sets me off.
Yeah, but you obviously...
That I really can't.
But I know you are an ardent listener of this radio station.
Yeah.
And you do listen to a lot of the different shows.
No, I think what it is the whole cycle of sports news is very similar to the whole cycle of regular news, where we take something and we just decide this is... Like, now, for whatever reason, now Woody Johnson's in the... crosshairs, right? Woody's in the crosshairs. John Mara is not in the crosshairs, but now Woody's in the crosshairs. Oh. Even though Woody did everything y'all wanted Woody to do, but now he sucks. And the Giants fans, I hear them rejoicing on the overnight show, like how they're in such a better position than the Jets. You're not.
Yeah, oh, that, the, I did
currently
not,
know.
I will say this: when it was announced that Joe Douglas was fired yesterday, I immediately got a text from one of my Giant fan friends. Oh, the Jets are a bigger mess. I'm like, you should just worry about your team. Your team's a mess. The Jets are a mess right now. They're leaderless, rudderless, you know, which is the worst place to be if you are the Jets. That's, you know,
it's similar to the Knicks-Nets thing, though, because the Knicks really weren't good yet when the Nets were doing their thing. And then we were celebrating the Nets falling apart with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and all of that. You know, that's sort of what this is with the Giants and the Jet fan. It's sort of like, even though we're a mess, like, you guys thought you were going to be great, and we had to sit here and listen to that for years and years and years, and guess what? You suck again. And that's just what, as Jerry said in the warm-up show, this is what we do. Like, you know, you suck worse. I'm good. I'm better than you. Like, this is what, you know?
Yeah. Stupidity.
Yeah, right.
But he does bring up a really good point, though, that I don't... I put a poll out this morning, which I never
do.
Oh, you
did?
I did.
A poll out?
I did. I'm curious to see what the masses would say in terms of the people that see what I... What would you rather be as a sports fan? Would you rather be a team like the Marlins, who are going to give you a championship run every, let's say, 10 years, and in between be trash or not very good? Or would you rather be a team that is going to be perennial winners but never win a championship? It's a very interesting question.
Yeah, I mean, to me, at this point in my life, I want to see the championship because I haven't seen it. I mean, I think if I were younger and just getting into being a sports fan, I want my team to be in it every single year because I'd be interested and I love the sport and I don't want them to be terrible and irrelevant. But at this point, at 42, having never seen a championship with any of my teams, I want to see a championship. And if the team's terrible for a decade after that, I think I would take it. I'd make
that trade.
I have
to say this, as a Ranger fan, we haven't obviously won the Cup since 94. But I will say that, you know, I feel really confident about the people that run the organization. It's a winning organization. They made some very tough decisions. They ended up moving away from Jeff Gordon, that GM that made all those tough decisions, and then put in Chris Drury, and Chris Drury is trying to bring a championship to the Rangers. And the Rangers have been one of the better teams over the last 3 to 4 years in the league. They just have. Now, when it gets to the playoffs, they unfortunately run into these buzzsaw teams, and they can't get past them. And, you know, you think that sooner or later it's got to come to fruition. They got to win sooner or later.
But do you at least allow yourself to, I guess this is the question you'd have to ask yourself. Do you allow yourself to enjoy the journey of the 6-month season, knowing that at the end it might end up the same way it has for the last 30 years? Or would you rather just wallow through crap, all of a sudden, bam, you sign a bunch of guys and one big year you get
Yeah, well, that's what we did in 94. Actually, that's exactly what we did in 94. But I think that there's a core group of players on the Rangers that we all are rooting for. Now, there's some people that obviously don't care for certain players, and that's going to be the case with every fan base, with every franchise in the city. But I will tell you that staying up and watching a game in which they win on the West Coast is very satisfying.
So it sounds like you want the championship, don't care around it.
But I also want to enjoy the journey with the players.
But if you had to pick
here,
one, what would you pick? You'd pick the journey.
I want
it's a hard question to answer.
I know, I want the championship.
But he's seen them. You know what I'm saying? That's true. The difference.
That's true.
Like this is what I always said about Joe Beningo screaming and yelling about how, I mean, he saw in his prime as a teenager the greatest moment, one of the greatest moments in New York sports history
in
with
NFL,
Joe Namath.
In NFL history.
Right. I mean, so like
you got that.
Right. So then what Al threw back in my face, though, was, okay, because I mentioned the Cubs. He said, all right, great. You've been, but what since then? Well, you can't win every. Like, I don't know what the right answer is.
But like, than, like as an adult, Gio, you're an adult now. Yeah, you're 40. You're a man. You're 40.
Yeah.
The Vikings win a Super Bowl this year. How long is that high going to last?
Oh, not. I mean, nothing. Not for very long. But it would be a core memory. Right. Like, it really
even
would.
Even now.
Yeah, it would be. I think, and at it would 40? Be four. But it would be four all those years that I put in. It would be a fun thing. It would be cool.
How long ago was the Minneapolis Miracle?
That was the 2017 season.
So that was 7 years ago, and you were out here behind me. You know, you're doing high knees and all that other stuff in your Viking garb.
Right, but if they win the Super Bowl this year, in 2 years they're 3-14. Is it?
Yeah,
you don't want that.
No, but the difference is, like, I appreciate, at this point in my life, I appreciate the wins and the losses don't bother me as much. That's the difference about growing up as a sports fan. Like, if they lose and they stink, I just divorce myself from it. And you can, you know, people go off front runner, whatever, fine. I don't care. I'm just not going to sit there and be miserable. And there's my high knees.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's pretty funny.
It's the fastest I've moved in a very long time.
And that was with the pizza mustache, right?
No, I don't think so. I know. I think that was later. I think I had full beard at that point.
Oh, that was hilarious.
But none of it really means all that much anyway.
All right, so we're Met fans.
Yeah.
Okay, and the Mets gave us something that we never expected this year, especially after the way that they started.
Those are the best seasons.
And they are the best seasons because they end up getting into the playoffs. It's frustrating that they lose in the NLCS, but at the end of the day, they gave us something that we, especially, you know, after the All-Star break, that we all came to appreciate.
And you juxtapose that with the Yankees, where, you know, they make it to the World Series. It doesn't feel like an accomplishment because they beat up on teams they were better than, and then they choked away a game in embarrassing fashion to lose the World Series at home. So, you know, but they technically made it farther than the Mets. Right. But the Mets going to remember, the Met fan's going to remember this season a lot more fondly than the Yankee fan.
And I remember the 4 days in Flushing, Wilmer Flores.
Yeah.
That was awesome. They didn't win the World Series that year, but I still look back fondly on that.
I think it comes down to what you like, what you hold on to, what memories you have.
That's just
it.
Give me a long 82-game season with the Knicks and the Rangers this season, where they're both competitive, where they both make the playoffs, and where they both make deep runs, and hopefully something happens that propels them to a championship. That's what I'm enjoying right now. Like, you know, you would think that the Rangers are the opposite of what their record says. There's the way a lot of Ranger fans are acting on social media.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here going, I'm enjoying this.
Yeah. I mean, I also think, too, like, you got to think that, like, the family aspect of this, too. Like, you talk about the Cubs.
Sure.
Like, there was a grandfather there who had never seen that, who thought he was going to die before they won a World Series, that shared that maybe with his son and his grandson, his granddaughter, whatever, and just had that moment. And then the people that are still alive, you know, remember that forever. You know, he had that moment with Grandpa when they won the World Series, and he was sitting there. Well, you know, it's like only championships can really create those moments.
I also go back to the 90s with the Knicks fan. I mean, how many games did we have, you know, where it might have been frustrating where Michael Jordan went off or Reggie Miller went off or Isaiah Thomas went off, whatever. But you know what? We knew that we had a very, very good competitive team that were a bunch of tough guys. We weren't really refined. We were in the image of Pat Riley and Jeff Van Gundy.
Yeah.
And those teams are great to root for.
All right,
frustrating, but great to root for.
All right, we have to take a break here. Jared, you have stuff you want to tell us
what
about?
Else? That's it? That's all I got?
No. In the next segment, would you like to do that?
I mean, I
or
can
if you don't, if you have
I
nothing
don't have
good.
A ton this morning. I'm right. searching if, for if, stuff.
I'll, so. I'll see you next
I'll,
hour.
I'll ask you a question.
Yeah.
Is Jose Siri a buddy of the name that we're not allowed
I
to
I actually
mention?
Think
they don't like each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they're pals.
They had an issue this past year.
Oh, they did?
Do you remember the game where there was a guy who was running very slowly?
That was
around
Jose Siri.
Yeah, and then Juan Soto did the same thing. Whatever. There's $20 in there.
But Nets beat the Hornets.
No.
You brought it up.
I did not say his name, though.
I don't care anymore. Hey, no. Take all my money.
No, put it in there.
No.
put it in there.
No, I'm not doing it. I already have $20 in there.
You can't do that.
Well, you said it 15 times and you never freaking put it in there.
No, you just said it again.
And you, but you know what? You're screwing the whole thing up because you, what you're doing is worse than what I'm doing.
Actually,
I said the name twice. You brought up topics in the last 2 days.
That is a serious. That's a legit point. Topic,
I am
though.
Not mentioning.
You did it twice.
Name.
No, but that has nothing to do with him signing. That
I even
is,
said is Jose Siri. I know a that. Buddy of the name that we.
You're
can't
breaking
mention.
The rules more than I am.
I am not. You just. Broke I don't think. You just
no, you're bringing up topics.
Put it in there.
No.
I don't think it applies. I got to defend. I don't think in this case it applies. Nothing to do with money, contracts, and visits. This is a real topic of a guy the Mets just got, and he doesn't like
you know
him, and that's a story.
What it is? I work with a bunch of goddamn snowflakes. Is
well,
what
you're
it is.
The one that started this by not yeah. putting the money in.
You know what?
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
That is a national.
Don't throw stones in glass houses.
Hey, time out. I did, not say, I did not say it in this microphone, and I didn't say it,
aired,
it live.
Though, but it aired.
You know, I don't want to hear it.
It aired
he
between
said it twice.
Time.
Just
you
know said what, it again.
You're stupid.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So there was a Manish Mehta sighting yesterday. Remember him? So, of course, he worked for the Daily News for many years. He was just one of these pain in the side of the organization reporters. He took it too far. He ended up being let go because he took it too far. So this was making the rounds on X yesterday where it looked like it appeared that Manish Mehta was trying to send a direct message to somebody else with Joe Douglas's number in it. And he goes, here you go. This is Joe Douglas's number. You didn't get it from me. Mm. But instead, he put it out to the masses.
Yeah.
So, I mean, wow. With his history and the fact that it was a story involving Joe Douglas that ended up being the final straw for him, his job and losing his job, I wouldn't be surprised with his history if he just put that out there and that was his way of trying to hide from it. You know, like, I'm just going to put his number out here, and I'm going to do it in a way that makes it seem like I made a mistake, but I'm really not making a mistake.
So
but,
you, so it did look like it was a direct DM.
No, I mean, it just, the only reason it looked like that is because he didn't send it to anybody. He just put that out there looking like someone had said to him, hey, do you have Joe Douglas's number? And instead of him responding in a DM, he responded in a post.
Oh.
You understand
okay.
what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yes.
So it went out to everybody.
Yeah, so given his history with the organization, how it all went down for him, and the way that I guess some Jet fans appreciated him, some probably hated him. But you feel like there was some intention on his part to put it out there.
It's something to think about.
Which would probably suck if it was.
Right, and maybe he did make an honest mistake, but he ended up getting deleted immediately, so who knows? But it was just like, of course, there has to be in this crazy Jet season. Manish
I didn't even
Mehta
know
has
he
to,
was still around. I didn't.
Poppy. Well, he's still around like a living human being, you know.
Yeah,
but
well, I didn't know if he was still in the area or not. I don't know what is he doing.
I
now?
I have no idea, no clue. But he's got an X account, and someone's reaching out. Hey, you want to get in touch with Joe Douglas? And here comes Manish popping out of the ground like a zombie, you know, coming out of the casket like the Undertaker. In this crazy Jet season, here he is. Let's go to Chris and Baldwin. What's going on, Chris?
Boomer Geo. Good morning, fellas.
What's up, Chris?
This franchise is a disgrace. This has been one of the worst seasons I've ever seen just because of the expectations. But I think this report is a bunch of garbage. How are we taking this report seriously? Some of the stuff... Like, there's no way he wanted to bench Rodgers one game after he threw three TDs against the Patriots and dominated. And Woody Johnson benched Tony Adams, the safety. I don't even think Woody Johnson knows the position Tony Adams plays. This report is coming from Russini, who had an article about last year about Vrabel didn't get the head coaching job because of his large size. An actual article. So how does this girl Russini have any validity with an article written like that? She hates the Jets. She hates Rodgers, and this is a hit piece from a disgruntled employee.
Yeah,
and Woody's
a terrible owner.
I get it, but
listen,
I don't...
Listen, Chris, I don't know. I think that she's more credible than that. I don't think she hates the Jets. I think the fact that the Jets have been a disgrace
since the time that she's been covering them for The Athletic. It looks like she hates the Jets because she's had nothing positive to write about with the Jets. The Jet fan is going to see that. There's some stuff in there. I mean, she's not just making this up, and it's also Zach Rosenblatt that teamed up on the article. It's not just her. I don't believe she's making this up. She's getting these things from people that were in these meetings. I mean, if she were just making up these meetings and the stuff that were coming out of it, I mean, she'd be fired in a nanosecond.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to go to disgruntled employees and get information.
Yes.
Believe me. And she has contacts all over the league. She knows people personally. And one thing I will say about the league, and it's not just Joe or Rob Saleh or anybody else. I mean, they're all insecure. Every single one that is sitting in those positions, whether it be the GM or the coach or the offensive coordinator or the defense coordinator, every single one of them is so insecure because at a moment's notice, things can go south in a hurry. And we've witnessed that here for the Jets. I feel like Aaron Rodgers, after every game, gives us a 4-1-1 on how, they have to get better and what they have to do to get better, but then they don't even practice what he's preaching, and they continue to lose. So if you continue to lose, then all of a sudden, the rats are going to scatter off the ship. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And I just think that there is such a bad culture around this team. And I would also say that for the Giants too, to be honest with you. I mean, and you read about the people that are covering the Giants, and they're talking to the players, and they're saying they all know it's about the money with Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
They all respect Daniel Jones.
Well, let's get into that next, because Dexter Lawrence said some interesting stuff, and there were some other anonymous players that were putting some quotes out there.
Right, but I'm just like, these reporters, dude, they have people that they talk to.
Yeah.
That, and it's, and the juiciest part of all of it is go to the person that has either been fired or go to somebody who's been had their, their collective nuts cut off. You know what I mean? Like, because yeah, they're the ones that are going to give you their perspective of it, and it is going to be a negative perspective.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It's that time of year again. The Mercedes-Benz of Edison winter event is back. You know your dream car is waiting for you right here. See their full line of 2025 model year SUVs, sedans, and electric vehicles. Get in on some of the best offers of the season. Experience the Ray Catena way, a commitment to excellence in everything they do for you. This holiday season, gift yourself or a loved one a Mercedes-Benz during the Mercedes-Benz of Edison winter event. Find out more at RayCatenaEdison.com. Tell Doug Wells that I sent you.
All righty, the Jets are back at work, so are we. London's menswear brand, Charles Tiered, is making it easy for you to look sharp with 30% off everything using code CHAMPION. The official partner of the New York Jets knows how to make a good fall outfit look great. The secret is in the layering. Start with the dress shirts they're famous for. Add a cozy merino sweater and a dapper coat. Job well done. They do have tons of styles to choose from, including their New York Jets collection. You can get 30% off for a limited time with code CHAMPION. Shop now in store or online at ctshirts.com. This Odyssey Sports Minute brought to you by my friends at London Jewelers. They are the engagement experts. You can visit them at any one of their 7 locations. This is Boomer and Science with an Odyssey Sports Minute, sponsored by Wrangler. It's Wrangler season out there. Open roads, endless horizons. Shop Wrangler.com for new denim styles. Can't say that I'm all that surprised that Jets owner Woody Johnson fired general manager Joe Douglas yesterday. Woody seems to be on a rampage at the moment. He's now out ahead of the field and searching for his next GM and coach. Good luck to the Jets. I'm Boomer and Science.
When I wake up,
the best mornings
in the morning light
start with Wrangler.
I pull on my jeans and I feel all right.
Jeans, jackets, and shirts that get your day started. Good mornings make for better days. Wrangler, for the ride of life.
Hey, Dad, Mom wants pizza for dinner. You want to run out?
Sure. I need to get gas anyways. Give me a minute.
Cool. Hey, what's that bottle?
It's Sable. You've just added to the fuel tank, and it keeps these engines healthy. When you start driving, I'll put some in your car, too.
Which one do I get?
How much money you got?
At every fill-up, or when you store, start with Stable.
When I wake up,
the best mornings
in the morning light
start with Wrangler.
I pull on my jeans, and I feel all right.
Jeans, jackets, and shirts that get your day started. Good mornings make for better days. Wrangler, for the ride of life.
RWJ Barnabas Health, official health care provider of Rutgers University Athletics. Learn more about